This is Chick Flick Fix. I'm Julia Scott.
And I'm AJ Knox.
We watch chick flicks and rom-coms and decide if they need fixing. Can we make them better or can we make them weird? And this week we're talking about Love and Basketball from 2000. It feels weird to say 2000. Like, I want to say the year 2000, all sci-fi like.
The year 2000.
Yeah. It was written and directed by Gina Prince Bythewood and produced by Spike Lee, and it stars Omar Epps, Sanaa Lathan, and Alfre Woodard, among a ton of, like, hey, it's that guys, which I really, really like. This was Gina Prince Bythewood's directorial debut. Her most recent movie is The Old Guard on Netflix, which I can definitely recommend. I really liked it.
What? That title sounds familiar. Which is that one?
It has Charlize Theron, and it's yes. they kick ass.
Okay. Yeah.
So this movie is semi-autobiographical, and Prince Bythewood said that her goal was to do a Black When Harry Met Sally, which I hadn't thought of it like that, but it does have that same sort of episodic and back and forth thing over a long stretch of time.
And the idea of are they friends or are they romantic partner? Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that.
This appeared on Entertainment Weekly's list of the 50 best movies you've never seen in the July 16th, 2012 issue, which I was going to say I don't want to be that person, but I am. I'm going to say the 50 best movies that you've never seen, probably if you're white, because this is a cult classic. Like,
yeah.
Had you seen this before?
I had not. I actually my only experience or knowledge of this movie was really just the title, like kind of knowing about it, but hadn't really seen it and didn't even know who was in it, really.
I thought I'd seen it, but I hadn't. And I think the title is kind of funny because, like, because they say it, I think they only say it like twice or three times, that all's fair in love and basketball, but just the title gives, like, if you don't know that that's the reference, I feel like the title, it gives me a different feeling than with the all is fair in context, sort of.
Yeah, I actually hadn't even thought of it in that context. And so, you know, I didn't really know what to expect going into it.
Yeah, I just feel like without that context, Love and Basketball sounds, these are the ingredients of this movie.
Yeah, it's like music and lyrics, right?
Whereas Music and Lyrics By, which was the original title, would have given a different flavor.
Yeah.
All right, AJ, what is this movie about?
They play the same game.
If you don't start a bad attitude,
critical foul.
No one's going to recruit you.
I'm a ball player.
With a jacked up attitude.
They share the same dream.
You'd love for him to play USC like you did, right?
No, I'd love for him to get a good education.
I don't know why I keep hoping you'll grow out of this tomboy thing.
I won't. I'm a lesbian.
That's not funny.
Damn. You don't look half bad.
You either.
How about a little one-on-one?
What are we playing for?
I score, you strip. Take it off. Take it off.
All's fair in love and basketball, baby.
All right. So Love and Basketball follows Monica, played by Sanaa Lathan, and Quincy, played by Omar Epps, when they're adults. And it is very cleverly, I will actually say, I really like that it is structured into four quarters.
I was so expecting there to be overtime.
I was too. That jumps to the end, but... Yes, I was waiting for an overtime because that is quintessentially basketball. But yeah, so we...
what do you call it? It's not called a shoot-off, but sometimes when you just do baskets at the end?
Yeah, you do baskets
at the end. To fix a tie?
It's
isn't that a thing?
Yeah, it's called basket finish. I don't know.
Maybe I'm thinking of hockey.
We are two artsy, theatery, crafty people talking about something we have literally no... frame of reference for.
Sudden death is not basketball. I think that's hockey. Anyway.
Hey, listeners, write in, and at the end of the show, just live tweet us, and we will answer it. We'll figure it out before the end of the show. Oh, God, this is just also kind of giving me flashbacks of the...
Oh, your dad is going to listen to this episode?
Yeah, for the users at home, my listeners at home, my dad listened to the League of Their Own episode, and when we were trying to talk about the rules of baseball, he literally yelled at the stereo because we didn't know what we were talking about.
I mean, I feel like that's legitimate.
Oh, that is absolutely, yeah, that is absolutely fair. We have no, we could talk about movies, but sports is hard. Anyway, all right, so it's, the movie's split into four quarters, and it starts in 1981, I believe, when we are introduced to some kids playing a little game of driveway basketball, and another kid comes up and is like, hey, can I play? And they're like, are you nice? Which I just loved. I loved that, like, this is your barrier to entry to play this game. Are you nice? Yeah, I'm nice. All right, you can play. I was like, oh, how wholesome.
Because I was like, do they mean, like, are you good? But then I was like, or is it just, like, that weird thing where you internalize something your parents say, and they're like, we only want you to play with nice kids. And you're
yeah.
Okay, I need to check.
it was so wholesome. I loved it. And so then the kid takes off their hat and, bum, 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 it's a girl. And they kind of have a little freak out. Quincy, young Quincy, is one of the boys. And his dad plays for the Clippers. He's like a big time Clippers player. And so they play this little pickup game, and he's shocked by how much she loves basketball, but then he knocks her down and she like scrapes up her face. Then we kind of see a little glimpses of their home life. Monica does not really have a great home life, and Quincy's parents are a little bit not on the same page. We're getting little teases of what will be the future for both of them. They have like a little love connection, little like puppy love. What's it called? Puppy love? Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. It's too early here. they have a little puppy love, and they have like a little kiss, and then they start fighting, and you get like, okay, this is a contentious friendship, romance, combative, you know, they're always going to be competing, but they're always going to love each other. Like, we get that set up pretty
early. I love
that
little scene where he's like, do you want to be my girl? And like, what does that entail? And again, like, you have these weird internalized stuff. Like, I guess we hang out, and if I say something stupid, I give you flowers.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, I want Twinkies. I was fully expecting, like, after he knocked her over, she'd be like, well, you owe me a Twinkie.
Oh, that would have been good.
And also how he's like, should we kiss now? Because it's like, that's a thing, I guess.
Yeah.
And they're both like a little bit like, okay. I just, it's a very, very cute little scene.
Yeah. It feels very authentic, actually. And yeah. So then we jump into the second quarter, where like, 6 or 7 years later, and they are like both kind of basketball stars at their high school. They're being scouted. There's like scouts coming to the games, and we kind of get a glimpse of Quincy as kind of this ladies man high school kid, even though like they're not in high school. They are so not in high school.
I will say, though, they felt more natural as high schoolers than some movies that we've seen. I also have to say, and I promise this is not sour grapes in a way, actually in all the ways, I think. No, but I'm really glad that I wasn't into sports in this way in school, because it seems so amazingly stressful.
Yeah.
Because, like, yes, you can, you know, be, I guess, scouted for music and stuff as well. But just to be like, okay, so you have to be scouted by someone, because otherwise you can't play in college. And also, like, you've set up such intense feelings around this, and maybe you don't even have a backup plan. And then, like, there is a limited number of spots at a limited number of schools where you could go. And probably a lot of people who are really good at basketball or football or lacrosse or track and field or whatever. And, like, I don't think theater programs tend to have scouts. And I definitely am very sure that, like, I don't know, English lit programs don't have scouts or whatever. But to be, like, to have this thing that you're working so hard towards, and then it's almost, like, random. Like, did you have a good day? The day scout showed up, did someone else get pregnant and have to drop it? Like, all of these things, it seems so intensely stressful. Like, there are a lot of things where it's hard to get a shot, like to get into, you know, a grad school program or whatever. But, you know, you can try again the next year. But I think it's really hard to try, and I guess you could be scouted from another school or whatever. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just, ugh, it hurts my heart for these kids. Like, I think about, like, what did I know about myself when I was, like, 17, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, because it's also, like, a commitment to, like, this is my future,
mm-hmm.
which I think...
This is my future until I'm, say, 33, because that's when I'll be worn out.
Yeah, that's when my knees give. I mean, you see it. Like, they do a really good job of showing that with Monica, because she's being scouted effectively, and she kind of tanks the game a little bit, and you see just like her devastation and that idea of like, and meanwhile you also see Quincy's like, you know, easy success, right? Everyone's already, and I do think the film is kind of suggesting that because his dad is a player on the Clippers, he is getting a little bit of a leg up,
mm-hmm.
in terms of how people read him and how people see him.
And also, I really like that they bring up that when he is, you know, either a diva or just like gets angry during the game, mm-hmm. that's him being passionate. But if she gets angry, then that's unacceptable. I really appreciated that.
Yeah. Yeah. And they do kind of wrestle with what do two very talented basketball players, arguably she's better than him. What is the difference between the way men are perceived in the game and the way women are perceived in the game?
And also, where can they go?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And what opportunities are available to them? I mean, obviously, like, he's looking to go to the NBA and she's looking to go to the WNBA.
Well, she wants to be the first girl in the...
Well, she... Yeah,
the
she
first
wants
woman
to...
in the NBA, which I think is cute how they keep referring back to it.
Well, I think it's more than cute. I think it's, like, a significant, you know, acknowledgement of, like, the inequity, right? Because...
Oh, I'm assuming that in the WNBA, like, they barely make a living wage. I could be wrong, but I know that in a lot of sports all over the world, like, they talk about it during the Olympics and during World Series and stuff, that male athletes, you know, they're professional, they can live on it, they get huge contracts. A lot of female, like, quote-unquote professional athletes have to have day jobs, because there's not the same kind of money, there's not the same kind of, like, sponsorships available.
I'm gonna look that up, because I hadn't thought about that. How much do WNBA players make? Oh yeah, wow, that's shocking.
What do they make?
Last year the average WNBA salary was $71,635.
So that's like your sort of year,
I mean, that's definitely a living wage.
Oh yeah, no, but it's like a white collar average, like, office job, good wage, you know. But it's, I'm assuming that here we have NBA salaries.
The one I'm looking at is the professional NBA player is $838,000. So
that's a factor 10.
Yeah. You're making one-tenth of what a male makes in effectively the same job.
And on top of that, you are probably not getting those, like, sponsorships and endorsements.
Oh, of course.
In the
yeah.
same way.
Yeah. Wow, that is actually really shocking. I did not realize it was that low.
I do like, though, that a lot of Olympians of both sexes, like, have to have other jobs, because most sports don't get those kind of endorsements. And right. I always love finding out what they do. Like, oh, this guy will go home and he's a butcher, or, like, you know, it's fun. Anyway, that was not the point at all.
No, that was really cool. That was, I learned. Oh, I have something for the what did you learn today segment. All right. So yeah, we kind of get glimpses of them in high school. They are friends. Monica still harbors, like, really strong feelings for Quincy, but he's kind of, you know, wheeling and dealing
being a dude.
Know, yeah. He's being a dude. And Monica's mom doesn't want, you know, wants her to give up basketball and be more ladylike. So this quarter kind of culminates with Monica losing the state championship game for her team. Well, she kind of blames herself for losing it, right? She kind of towards the very end of it. And there's a cool scene when she's playing where it's like her point of view and the thoughts in her head,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was really, really cool. I've never really seen that in a sports movie, and I liked that. It kind of made you realize just how chaotic it is out there. And so, Monica and Quincy are looking at, you know, what colleges they're going to go to, and Monica gets into USC, and Quincy has gotten recruited by USC. And so they celebrate by boning.
This scene, I was, at first I was like, ooh, I don't want to watch kids do this. This is uncomfortable. And then I realized what really did make me uncomfortable is that it feels so real. It feels so intimate that I feel like I'm, you know, watching people have sex. And it's really like, it's not that, you know, it's not very explicit, like no nipples, no nothing. I will give like 5 gold stars for the fact that they bring out a condom and like it's a part of the act, because that is, you know, that is also very rare. The most you get is usually like a wrapper the next day. But like, it's just, it's so tender and it's a little fumbly and like, it feels so private. And because, you know, I didn't feel like a prude. I was just like, I feel like I shouldn't be here. I'm an old lady. I should not be in the room with these kids, you know. And that's a good thing in that, like, just cinematically, it's a very nice scene. But then I was also like, oh no, I feel bad.
Yeah, it is. It's really interesting because it is a very, and there's like a moment in the middle of it where she's like laying down and it just lingers on his face for a minute. And it almost feels like it's holding that shot almost too long, but it's just because that scene is really like, it's all done in extreme close up. It's very slow and it is like, you are in this room with them. And it does feel, it's incredibly intimate, both as like what's happening, but also just in that scene.
And I feel like you can really tell that, like, it is very slow and you can, it really does radiate how both of them are just like, wait, is this really happening? And I can't say anything because I could like puncture this very fragile bubble of this moment. So I feel like they're both, you know, in their heads going, ha, 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 but in a good way, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, so we get a little doing it action, and then we jump to freshman year at USC, third quarter, and here we see Monica kind of used to be top dog at her school, and now
she's a little kind of fish bottom in a big rung. Pond.
Yeah, bottom rung in this college basketball team, and the coach is intense.
I love that actor though. What's her name?
Yeah, she's great.
Her name's Christine Dunford, and I feel like she plays a lot of these sort of amazing, harsh, boss bitch women in a very good way. Like, she, I would bet that she's a lot of police chiefs or inspectors and stuff.
Authority figures, right? She's really good at that. And like, I fully believed her. The part where, you know, Monica goes to shoot a basket, and she does it in a kind of flowery way. In a showboaty way, and then,
I think it's that she like does a little victory pose dance afterwards, and she stays in the sort of the middle of the court, and it's just like woohoo, and because of that,
showboating, and then the coach makes her keep her arm over her head for the rest of practice. She's like, I want you to do that until you get as sick of it as I am, or something like that. And I was like, oh, this coach is like no nonsense.
And that's another thing that I'm glad that I haven't had to deal with, like, again, yes, professors and theater, you know, directors and or theater teachers, I should say, usually aren't hard, like, because they don't want to, like, I have to be, you know, beat you into shape, break you down so I can build you up again, because we have to get to victory. They're more like, I want everyone to survive either this production or this thesis or whatever.
They
can be mean, but it's not the same thing where it's like every time you see them they're going to be yelling at you.
Yeah, I did have a theater professor who, I will say this, was a kind of a genius in college. I learned a lot about how theater works, how to direct, but he was also real mean. I remember one day very specifically, we were rehearsing a play, and everyone was in that kind of like, it was hot. It was the middle of October. It was in a heat wave. It was a set with all the lights on. Everyone's just tired. Like, we're, you know, you hit a point kind of halfway through a rehearsal process where everyone kind of breaks for a few days and then you get it back. And we were in that little slump. And I remember my one note for the entire show, and I was in the whole show, but my one note I got that day was, AJ, you're a baby shit actor and you're going to ruin this whole goddamn show if you don't get better. And that was my note.
Can you take a note like that seriously?
I kind of went, okay. But that's like, that's just who he was. And so, you know, but obviously nothing to the extent of like the constant berating and abuse that, that
yeah, and like that the berating and abuse is kind of an accepted part of most coaches' tactics.
Mm-hmm. That is a really interesting thing. And I was thinking about that. I was like, would this fly today? Like, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
What, I think you still see that. Like, it's a lot of yelling, even if you're positive.
Yeah, I guess so. So, yeah. So we are in the we're in the third quarter. They're both at USC. And we discover that Quincy's dad, there's a woman who is claiming that he's her baby daddy. And Quincy's like, is this true? And the dad's like, no, I would never lie to you. And then he goes home and his mom is crying.
And then shock and horror turns out.
Yeah. His mom is crying and she shows him photos because she's hired a private eye to follow him around. And she's caught him having an affair. And he's a little devastated. And Monica starts to kind of like climb the ladder in her team. I don't know how to say that for sports teams. That sounds like a corporate thing. But she starts to like get better and better. But then Quincy kind of is a D-bag and kind of bails on her because they've been a couple pretty much this whole time. And he kind of bails on her for not being there for him, and he's like drunk at a party and stuff. And you know, he's like really gropey and aggressive. And so they split up. Then we get to fourth quarter. Monica is in Spain practicing out there with the International Women's Basketball Association, which I did not know was a thing. And she's like getting better and better and better, but she's also at the same time kind of flip-flopping on how she feels. We also meet Quincy. He is now playing for the Lakers, but he gets put in and he tears his ACL, which is a thing that happens to athletes that I know because I've seen
all the time.
Because I've seen movies. I have no idea where the ACL is. It's somewhere in your leg, I think.
It's in your knee, I think.
And it tears. And it's bad, and it kind of means your career's over. So he's in the hospital. Monica shows up at the hospital, and then in like the weirdest cameo in the whole movie, Tyra Banks shows up as his fiance. And in my headcanon, she's just legit Tyra Banks. Like,
for a second, I thought that too.
I was like, is she playing herself? Because, that is like...
And then for a second, my brain also went, wait, is she Barbie come to life?
Yeah, that also... But yeah, so he's in the recovery. Monica kind of meets his fiance, and it's like, oh, okay. Again, we get more kind of that family drama. She has another kind of big blowout with her mom, and Quincy is doing physical therapy to get better. And Monica ends up quitting basketball because it's just not going her way. We end the movie pretty much with them having a little one-on-one game in the driveway, just like they did when they first met. They they set the stakes. So if he loses, he has to call off the wedding. And I'm like, are you throwing this game?
and if he wins, she has to buy him a wedding present.
Yeah. But Quincy wins and calls off the wedding. And so then we get a one last little glimpse. They have a little re-embrace, like they've come back together, little re-embrace at the end. And then we get to we cut to the WNBA. She's playing for the Sparks, which is a team. and they've got a little kid. And I let the movie roll just because
there's a tiny little bonus clip.
Yeah, I was watching it while I was working, so I didn't just immediately like stop it when the credits started rolling. And there's like a little thing at the end of their daughter playing basketball, which is very cute and charming.
And one of those, like, this hoop is a foot and a half off the ground.
Yeah, but she can't jump. She's a baby.
Babies can't jump. That's a movie.
Yeah, that's the prequel to White Men Can't Jump. But it's like Look Who's Talking Now, but with babies. But with basketball.
Yep. So I feel like the description of like a Black When Harry Met Sally really kind of fits. Like it's not as long a time, and they're kids when they meet, so it's a little different. Plus you get some of the sort of explicit discussions of love that you see in When Harry Met Sally here, because like the parents talk about it, but it's not quite the same there. But I appreciate this, like, not that dramatic, you know, child through high school through adulthood, mm-hmm, romance. I appreciate it. I think it's cute.
Yeah, I mean, also, I wonder, too, because it has been so many years since I've seen Harry Met Sally. Is that like a long game movie?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I just kind of remember, I know it's like vignettes, but I did not realize, I don't think I remember that it's like the life.
I will drop a little spoiler here for the listeners that we will be finishing out the year with When Harry Met Sally.
I cannot wait. I don't remember that movie that well. I mean, I remember obviously the I'll Have What She's Having, and I remember like some car arguments and stuff, but that's kind of it.
But yeah, like I feel like the trope is just, you know, growing up and finding your way back to each other, right?
Yeah, and it's a little bit of the like the best friend under my nose this whole time thing. There's a little battle of the sexes quality as well. Yeah, there's like little mini tropes throughout. Because it does do like the vignettes, I do feel like we kind of get a variety in there. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, we've got the guy I love is dating, you know,
Tyra Banks.
Another woman. We're engaged to Tyra Banks. That classic rom-com trope. Can we make that a rom-com trope? Can we just start to like imagine that in movies? Like,
yes, absolutely.
It's always Tyra Banks is the other woman.
Especially in like Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, yeah. That famous scene when Lestat is engaged to Tyra Banks and Louis like, aw. Yeah, there's a lot of little tropes, but yeah, I definitely think it's finding their way back to each other is the whole point.
Yeah, and the main couple, I like them both separately as people, and I like them as a couple. And it's like, you know, it's made so that you stop cheering for Quincy for a while there, but it's made to do that so that it's not smooth sailing and so that he has something to grow from, because I would say that he definitely does. And also would be kind of unrealistic for him to be, you know, a super good, emotionally healthy guy, A, in general, because teenagers, and B, you know, when you are a sports star or a star at anything, I think, but sports has such a weird position in a lot of society. Mm-hmm. Like it's hard to be a decent guy, I think. And also like he probably hasn't had kind of the emotional education to know how to handle his feelings when it turns out that like his greatest hero who tried to, you know, make him into what he thought his dad was, you know, that like that whole like it's I mean that's something that's hard, I think, even for like emotionally healthy people to deal with.
Oh yeah.
But if you maybe don't have the emotional tools to do that, then you would just be angry that people aren't, in this case, like just, you know, stepping up for you.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, yeah, the thing I kept thinking about with these characters is like, as the movie goes on, it's like, who am I rooting for?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think the movie pretty squarely like wants you to root for Monica.
Mm-hmm.
It's her story. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but I like them as characters and I like them together. I'm going to get to the end in a second, but like I don't know if I necessarily cared that much about them getting together. I was like, this could be a good movie even if they don't. But I, you know, I like them together.
Yeah, I like them too. This is one of those movies also where I don't know that I need the love story.
Mm-hmm.
I know it helps kind of balance out their competitiveness. It kind of balances out like the arcs for both of them. But it does. It almost feels like two separate. And it is. It's two separate stories, right? It's like what's happening with their athletic careers and then what's happening with their romantic lives. And this is definitely one of like a fix for this movie where the whole rule of they can't talk to each other would fix their issues. Mm-hmm. You know, if they just sat down and had like an honest conversation about their feelings for each other, like,
yeah,
all that conflict would disappear.
But this is not a case of if they'd only talk to each other about this one extremely bizarre misunderstanding. This is like,
right.
if only we could demand of like 7 or, you know, 18, 19 year olds that they could be emotionally mature.
Yeah. Have the emotional maturity of an adult. Yeah. Well, that's, I don't know if that even, because we're not always emotionally mature either.
No, but hopefully we've gotten better at knowing about communication and, yes, and doing it. The side characters don't take up much room in this movie at all. It's like a little bit of family and like brief little dips of like teammates and stuff, but mm-hmm. not a lot. Like I, you know, Alfre Woodard, I'm like Alfre Woodard is wasted in this. Not wasted as in she doesn't perform, but I'm like, you had her there.
I know.
Why is she not in it more?
I know.
And like, you know, I like her sister. I like, it's just, they are more sort of kind of, you know, set dressing for the main story, which isn't necessarily bad, but I think like maybe there could have been more done with them. But I like also like nobody is, you know, a super clear sort of, you know, villain, like huge antagonist. And it's like, okay, the coach is mean, but she's also fair. And then she's not mean. And her, Sidra, her sort of kind of antagonist on the team, it's more like, you know, you feel threatened in this kind of situation, but then they can be like, you know what I mean? Like it's just people come in and out of your life and they can be mean in certain situations and otherwise not. Like, it's very real in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, with those surrounding characters, I think, like, again, Alfre Woodard is, I love her in everything. She has that little tiny cameo in Civil War that is, like, so powerful. and in the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's, like, one of the only times a civilian gets to talk to a superhero about, like, what it means, aside from like the little boy in Iron Man 3. But it's really this moment of like, I don't know you, but you're not gods. And it's this powerful, she's so good in that tiny little scene. And so like, yeah, even in her smaller scenes in here as Monica's mom, she's really, really great. I wanted more of her. Like,
right.
And, Dennis, he's the Allstate guy. Haysbert. Yeah.
Yeah.
As, Quincy's father, you know, he's really good, and
he kind of hesitated to take this role because he had just come off Waiting to Exhale, and he was like, do I want to play another cheating butthead? but
he's really solid in this. Like, I believe him. Actually, like, all the parents I liked acting wise. Regina Hall is in this, and she's good in like a smaller role too. And there's even some of the basketball players on Monica's team at USC, like, they're solid.
Gabrielle Union, just like out of nowhere, is in this. And it's funny how I was like, wow, she does not age. She looks the same here as she does in Bring It On. Then I was like, wait, these movies are contemporary. I mean, she doesn't age. Yeah. She was in almost 30 around this time. So she doesn't. And she looks gorgeous now too. But it's funny how for some reason this felt older than Bring It On. I have no idea why.
Yeah, it does. You're right. It does weirdly feel older than... But
that also might be because it's set... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I was also waiting for... I will say this. I was waiting for a lot more, like, early, mid-80s soundtrack to come into this. Because that's, like, such a... And I think, you know, within the context of this movie, like, that's the birth of hip-hop. And there was some of it, but I really wanted more.
Yeah.
Even though it's like, it's got a good soundtrack, but I wanted it to feel more 80s a little bit.
Do you have a favorite character?
I think my favorite character is Monica, followed pretty closely by Alfre Woodard. Like, she is so captivating to me. She is so good. She's so believable. So yeah, I really liked every time she, even though she's playing like one of the main villains, like, in this movie. I just really liked her in the movie.
Yeah, co-signed. Like, I don't feel like there's anyone that you could like just remove or someone that I don't like intensely. And if I do, it's more because I'm like, I want this character developed more. I want to understand more, because this obviously isn't a one-dimensional character. Like, the, you know, some parts of the parents where you're like, there is more here. And that would also make this both a better movie, a more interesting movie, and like, it would complexify some of these relationships. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite part?
I think my favorite part is maybe the kind of back-to-back conversation Quincy has with his dad, and then in the bar, and then with his mom out by the pool. It just like, it roots the film in reality in a really interesting way. Even though it's, you know, the private investigator and all that. And I just like the contrast of like, seeing how his relationship with both of his parents is different. I wanted to like the basketball. We'll talk about that in a minute. I wanted to like the basketball stuff more because that's so much of this movie. But I do not think the movie is really interested in kind of getting you into the game of basketball, or kind of teaching you the rules in any kind of significant way, or kind
yeah,
of
and like, I think you said it a moment ago, like the chaos, like basketball, I think is a hard game to make narrative because it's very sort of tight, and yeah. Unlike many other American sports, it doesn't pause all the time; it keeps going. So you can't have like as much commentating as narrative device. I mean, because like it just keeps going and it's very tight, and also because of the way this is cut, it's cut very fast and sort of tight and shot pretty tight as well. So it's not easy to see what's going on. And it's interesting because Spike Lee was like, well, you know, his thing had been and was here where he was like, I want actual player, basketball players. Mm-hmm. And the role of Monica was kind of fairly long time up in the air between a basketball player who the director sent like for acting classes and Sanaa Lathan, who had to go to like boot camp.
Yeah.
And most of the other like players are actual players. I don't know. I feel like there's too much basketball, but it's not presented in a way that makes it as compelling as it could be, even for someone who doesn't care that much about sports.
Well, I was thinking about it and I was like, I don't know. I don't watch sports. I don't know anything about sports. I was trying to like figure out how to like categorize basketball in my head, because to me it always feels like a game of hot potato. Like if it went for another minute, you'd have a different winner. So that has never really compelled me as a viewer. But I was like, what can I compare basketball to that like I know? And I was like, oh, I know video games. So it's like football is like Mario, because you're going from one side to the other and you're just like moving and there's obstacles in your way and you just have to get to the end. And then baseball is like a turn-based role-playing game, because it's like everybody gets a turn at bat, everyone gets to use their powers. And then basketball to me is like Candy Crush or something. It's just like busy and loud and fast and you know, never ending almost. Like, so it's just never been something that has really compelled me, and I don't think this movie necessarily like did anything to make me appreciate basketball in the way that like A League of Their Own, because it's a truncated like sliver, it's like we're going to show you one season from start to finish. It kind of eases the viewers in.
But there you get like they explain more about what's going on, and like even if you don't know any rules ahead of time, you understand just like the way everything is set up, like, oh, this matters now.
Yeah.
Whereas this is more of like a, you know, sports documentary. It's not about any specific game or any specific part of the game. It's more like sports are going on, and then every now and then something will be significant, like during one of the rehearsals, during practice,
during a sports rehearsal.
Or is it during game? I don't remember. But when Monica, you know, she keeps playing, she gets the rebound, she passes.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like, she has learned, she has grown, and the coach acknowledges. You know, like, it's sometimes you get, but there's a lot of it there where it's not shot in a way that you get it or that you get super, like, but I don't think it's meant to be. I don't think this is a sports movie as such. It's like the thing, they could just as well be, you know, both of them want to publish a novel or whatever, you know, both of them want to get into this prestigious writing program or something.
And you don't need to be versed in the language of basketball to enjoy it. Like, I enjoyed this movie, even though I don't really know much about basketball, but at the same time, it doesn't do much to get anyone up to speed. So it's like what you know about basketball going into this movie will be exactly what you know about it when you leave this movie.
And it's kind of funny too, because basketball is one of those sports that's really easy to just like play casually, because you only need the one thing and you only need a fairly small amount of space. Like, even baseball, yes, you only need like a ball and a bat, but you need to be somewhere where there's some room.
Yeah.
So basketball is really accessible, and I think it's fun to play basketball. I'm not great at it, but it's fun.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like that's also part of what makes it chaotic. That it's like you start playing when you're kids, and then they sort of slowly adjusted the rules to have less bleeding.
Yeah. I'm going to take a stab at your favorite part. Is it when she gets to USC, is it the montage with the coach?
No.
In the training? Oh, I was like, I bet this montage-y bit is Julia's favorite part. All right, go ahead.
No. I think the sex scene isn't my favorite part, but I kind of want to just like give it another commendation, because it's done so well. Mm-hmm. And again, like both in movies and a lot in romance novels, you don't see protection. And it's like, it's not just that, like, oh, they talk about it and they're like, well, you know, we don't have to worry about me getting pregnant and ruining either of our careers, because that's a big, you know, topic that comes up over and over again in this movie. They show it as part of, like, a natural part of, and also he's the one who kind of remembers to get it. And I just, like, again, I want to give it, like, a little thumbs up for that.
Yeah.
My favorite part is the very end scene.
Okay, yeah.
Because there's so much joy there.
End scene when they're playing driveway basketball, or when she's on the Sparks?
When she's on the Sparks.
Yeah.
Because, like, we can just go straight into the end if we want to. But just, like, and this is maybe unfair, but, like, that made the rest of the movie just, like, so much better for me, because it was about, it made it so clear that it was about both of their growth. And he's mm-hmm. sitting there, he's, you know, and, you know, I'm reading into it, but it's very clear, like, he has left basketball, and not just mm-hmm. because of his knee, but because, you know, he realized it wasn't really his passion. It was something that he sort of felt that he needed to do and was good at. And he's taking care of the kid, which, if she's a professional, you know, player, he has to take more responsibility for the kid, mm-hmm. Which also, like, in the 90s isn't a given, but they right. make it clear that, like, he is there and she is so happy and she has reached success. And she is also, like, it's the first time that we get to see her play in a big fancy stadium, because every other game, including, like, the championship games in both high school and college, are in sort of, you know, high school, like, in gymnasiums. They're not in a stadium. So it's both the scene itself is so satisfying, but it also ties up the movie where you're like, all right, I accept everything he did, because it's clear that it's not just like she accepts, you know, they fall back in love, the end. It's like, no, they actually show, like, there was a happy ending. There was more after the hypothetical credits. My only thing is, I wish that when they played the game, that he said either, like, I already broke up with her, like, I already called off the wedding, or that she called off the wedding because he told her that he didn't want to play ball anymore. So that, mm-hmm. because, like, you get a little bit more, like, I don't want him to be an asshole still, you know? I want him to have said, like, either that Kira was like, oh, she was so shallow, she only wanted to be with a baller, which, you know, fine. Or just that, like, he realized that he didn't love her as much as he thought, or, like, they weren't suited. Because it's a very, very, you know, it's a very sort of light form of cheating to kiss someone else. But I don't want that fly in my happy ending soup, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. I get it.
Do you have a least favorite part?
I don't know that I have a least favorite part of this movie. I think that, like, you know, we've been kind of on a string of, with the exception of Twilight, we've been on a string of, like, pretty solid, you know, movies within the context of their own kind of world, right? And so, I feel kind of like, I don't have a part that stands out as, like, my least favorite part necessarily. I mean, because, again, it's well acted. I do feel like the high school stuff drags on a little long. So the second mm-hmm. quarter feels a little long and a little like, we get it. I do think the movie itself is maybe like 15 minutes too long, potentially.
Yeah, because it's like, it's just over 2 hours long, which, yeah, it feels like it's a little, and also it makes, like, the balance between the quarters really weird.
Right.
I kind of feel like the first quarter should have been, like, warm up, and then, like, college and high school should have been, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it got me, I do feel like, yeah, the overtime is, like, for me, that would be, like, the last pickup game at the very end, the driveway game. Like, that's overtime. Like, all right, this is going to decide the end of this game.
Exactly. Because it's like, because the fourth quarter is like, okay, she's playing in Europe. He busts his knee. Like, it's so much more happening in that quarter, even if it's not a lot of time necessarily.
Right.
I just feel like, It's unbalanced in both how much time each era gets and what happens in that vignette.
Yeah. So I think if I had to choose, like, my least favorite part of the movie, it's actually, I love the quarter conceit. I don't think it's totally executed as mm-hmm. cleverly or as engagingly as it could be.
Yeah.
So it's not really a part. It's more of a conceit is my least favorite.
What did you think about the end?
I like it. I mean, I like that game. I you know, bookends it nicely to have it happening on the well, I mean, the two scenes at the end, right? To have the driveway game that kind of bookends it. And yeah, I like seeing her have her success with him cheering her on. I think that's like it's a solid message. It's a solid end to this story. It shows character growth.
And my tiny little stupid feminist heart was like, oh yeah, hyphenate.
Yeah.
I thought that was cute.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I liked it.
I have another sort of bonus favorite part, come to yeah. think of it, when she's watching a dubbed version of Family Matters when she's in Spain.
That is fun. Yeah.
Apparently, trivia is that she actually had a guest star on that show once, which makes it even funnier. But just like something about her, like, because the scenes before it make it clear that she doesn't speak Spanish. So she's just like, this is the closest I'll get to something that feels like home is watching this show that is on at home, but it's dubbed.
Yeah. In high school, a bunch of us did one of those, you know, prepaid Europe trips through the school. Mm-hmm. And when we were in Spain, we were like having a mellow night. We turned on TV. I mean, we were in Spain while the World Cup was happening and Spain was playing. And like that was, and we were in France when France was playing. It was, I was like, oh, this is what sports is like. When the whole country has a team.
Mm-hmm.
It was insane. But I remember watching Ninja Turtles in Spanish in Spain. And I was like, I dig it.
Yeah. So I have to say, we've talked about movies with like high gaps and with unfairly low grades. On Rotten Tomatoes, this has an 83% fresh rating from critics and a 95% fresh rating from audiences.
Yeah.
It has a 7.2 on IMDb, which I think is low compared to the other stuff, but maybe different audiences. But I just think, like, I don't think it's undeserved at all. It's just like I would have expected like a solid high but not super high grade. But mm-hmm. I mean, again, like, it has sort of had cult classic. I feel like 95% is, that's a lot. But I also feel like, I don't know why, I'm starting to feel like you rarely get a super high rating from both critics and audiences. Like, either the critics are like, oh, this is amazing art, and the public is like, I don't get it. Or the critics are like, oh, this is bad because it's accessible, and everyone else loves it because it's accessible.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What would you give this out of 10?
I mean, I would just...
Out of 10 Spaldings.
10 Spaldings, yes. That is also a funny joke, she's dating Spalding when she's in high school. Who's Spalding? I will acknowledge that this movie is not for me. Like, sports movies in general are not for me. And I mean, this is also a movie like very clearly like made, you know, for a black audience. And I value and appreciate that. For me, I liked it. It was fine. But it didn't really I had a hard time with the basketball stuff. I'll just be honest. Like,
yeah, no, I agree. It kept taking me out of, like, I was, you know, getting into the movie and, you know, feeling for the characters. And then it's like, nope, cold shower.
Yeah. And that's just my personal thing. But I recognize it's a good movie. So I think I'd give it like a 7.5. Like, for me, it's like a very solid, like, this is a good movie. I'm not really finding any flaws. But on a personal level, it's not like the subject matter of college sports and professional sports is just so beyond the realm of my interests. I really hope, my wife and I are expecting in December, and I really hope she's not into sports. Because I just, oh,
although
God.
I am way more for and into girls who are into sports than guys who are into sports.
That is absolutely true.
Because, and, like, I mean, a little sort of kick-ass soccer bruiser with pigtails, I'm like, I'm here for it.
Yeah, for sure. And to be fair, if we had a boy, I would be saying the exact same thing. Just because it is a world I have no familiarity with.
Well, enroll her in wrestling and see if she can break a nose as fast as you can.
Yeah, that'll end her sports career fast. What would you give it?
I would give it, a solid 8. Because, mm-hmm. like you said, like, it's a very good movie. I liked many parts of it, but it's too much sportsing. It ruins the sort of structure and flow of it for me, but that doesn't make it a bad movie as such.
Right.
Like, it doesn't ruin the actual flow of the movie, if you know what I mean. Like, it's still a good narrative. It's just like that, there's too much of it for for me, but, you know, I appreciate this version of saving the roller rink, I guess. I just, like, I need stupider things to look forward to, not just will I get to play sports and make goals. I want those goals to then do something stupid. But that's, you know, that's very much just my brain.
Yeah, same.
All right, so this movie, I think we're both kind of in agreement that this movie doesn't necessarily need fixing, but we both can. And I think we're in agreement that, like, our fix would be less sports. Because, yeah. And that's what I was like, wait, that means I want less montage. What's going on? But just, like, yeah, structurally. But I think I need more insight into the characters. I feel I need to be allowed to get closer to them because their motivations aren't super clear. And, like, yes, they're teenagers. So, you know, but it's just, like, I need to get closer to them to understand them better, to get more invested in them. And like you were saying, and I think we both were saying maybe, and also I just feel like I want these parents to also get more screen time.
Yeah.
And I want to understand more about them because they shape so much of these characters and these characters' sort of ideas about the future that I would want more. But I mean, that would really require taking most of the sports out of it, which would make a completely different movie.
It would just but be, like, the movie would just be called Love Ant.
Yeah. Also, I kind of want Monica to date a bit because this movie structurally is just like she dates Q and then just sort of saves herself for however many years and then comes back to him. And it doesn't explicitly say that, like, you are the only man I've ever had sex with and the only man I've ever loved. She does say, I've loved you since I was 11. But, like, I just want her to, both because of, you know, kind of ideas about purity and stuff, but also just, like, I want her to get to have fun, too.
Yeah,
not that love and romance, like, and sex are necessary, but she's not made out to be, you know, aromantic or asexual. I just want her to get to do stuff. And, like, have some other relationships in between. Because I also think a lot of times those can be important to figure out what you want in a relationship.
Yeah. Shout out to one of my favorite podcasts, the Savage Love Cast. One of the things Dan Savage always says about relationships is, like, just because relationship ended doesn't mean it failed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, seeing her have different experiences would be really interesting, right? Because, again, we see him have a lot of relationships, sexual and romantic relationships with other women in this movie. What does that look like for her? Like, what is her? Because I think you're right. It does feel a little bit like, I've waited for you.
Because she says, like, no, I haven't dated in Spain ever.
Right.
And it's not said, like, you know, I haven't dated because I've been focused on sports or I just didn't feel up to it. It's more like, oh, no, I didn't want. And so that's, I would have wanted her to just, like, date.
Yeah.
What about you? Is it just less sports?
A little less sports. Or I think, actually, when watching it again, that scene when she's playing in high school and we're in her head. And we're, like, hearing her thoughts and kind of seeing how she's managing the whole game. Like, she's checking the scoreboard. She's looking at the players. She's, like, plotting out her, you know, she's how difficult that is to kind of multitask during a game. I kind of would have liked a little bit more of that. So almost, like, for me, the fix would be you could keep all the basketball, but center the story a little more directly around her.
And also, that would be a really fun way to also show her growth, like, both that her brain maybe becomes less chaotic because she's more secure in her game and she doesn't wonder as much or worry as much. And, like, she shares more and, like, she, you know, grows up with the game.
Yeah.
I like that.
Because I just think, like, to me, that was, like, that was the one scene in the movie where the game for me was exciting and intriguing. Because it was rooted in character. And so I feel like doing more of that, and maybe even that involves, even though sometimes I feel like it can be a little cheap, but if you make it the narrative device, like, maybe that involves some voiceover. Maybe that involves a little bit of, like, the Annie Hall style, you know, kind of, this is all my point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I to me, that would fix my hurdles with this movie.
All right. Okay. I feel better then that it's not just like, we're like, okay, half the movie, half the title. We don't like it. Let's remove it. So that's a good fix. All right. Can we make it weird? Because for me, I'm like, so Space Jam.
Oh my God. Yes.
We've already used Space Jam once. Why not again?
Why not? But Space Jam in the 80s would be, because that's like kind of a downtime for like the Looney Tunes resurged in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if you'd have to pull in like all those weird bad 80s cartoons instead.
Yeah, no, so that was like, so Aliens would be really fun.
Yeah.
But then I just got stuck on the Aliens. I was like Space Jam because it would just be so funny. And it would also kind of be funny if it would just be funny if he also went into like tried both basketball, or if he tried both like baseball and golf afterwards.
Yeah.
Just be like, all right, can I be a pro at this other thing? Or he's suddenly like, I'm going to get really good at checkers. I'm going to be part of the world checkers championships.
I like that.
What about you?
Yeah, my make it weird was literally just take the game of basketball, like the intense, like I'm playing high school and college and professional basketball, and it's all just horse.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Yeah. I was like, horses?
The game of horse.
Which they start the movie with.
But I just think like, if it becomes like, I'm being recruited for the N-H-O-R-S-E.
Because then you kind of get something more along the lines of dodgeball or...
Yes, or
like
or basketball.
Cube. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or something where it's like real, but like keep the intensity, keep the drama, keep the stakes, but it is all horse.
I like it.
That's mine.
Do you think that the horse league is co-ed?
No, because he's got to be in the male horse league that make $30,000 a year. The women's horse league makes $10,000 a year.
Hate when that happens. So what? I mean, I think we both learned during this discussion that, I mean, I knew the thing about female athletes.
WNBA players more.
Yes. And also, not to put too fine a point on it, but endorse people where there's a way smaller chance that, you know, bad stuff that they've done will resurface.
Yep.
Just a thought.
Not to put too fine a point on it.
No. Next week, we'll be talking about Holidate, Netflix's movie about holidays, which I appreciate because we've been joking about like all of the different holiday movies that are like centered around, because Christmas is coming up. There's going to be tons. Whereas this kind of jumps from holiday to holiday. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Get us into the holiday season.
Yes. And, you know, we're trying to also do cuter stuff after all of the weird Halloween stuff.
Yeah.
You can find our show notes at theincomparable.com/chickflickfix. We're on Patreon, patreon.com/chickflickfix. We're chickflickfix on Twitter and Instagram. We'll be back next week. See you on the rebound, AJ.
Oh, God. Rebound, AJ. Same. And I do also feel like I lost my train of thought.
Okay.